Good morning, Crossways. It's good to be here and excited about the things that God is doing. We're excited about the ordaining of the, not the elders, the deacons. And what God is going to be doing in this body. As you know, we've gone through a long series on the Gospel of Luke, and it's been an amazing, we've had amazing teachings on that, and that came to an end. And we are now going into a series about the Bride of Christ, which is who we are, and it's what the Bride of Christ, the church, should look like, what the characteristics of the Bride of Christ are, and how we as his church are called to demonstrate, to show the characteristics of this bride. And we see many examples of this throughout Scripture and in the Acts of the Apostles. We see many of these as well. A couple of weeks ago, we had a visiting preacher, Ray Oliver, and he actually did the first of these teachings. He spoke to us about leadership and followership in the church and what that should look like. And I think part of what Doug spoke about just now about leadership applies just as much to the followers of Christ as well. And so, as you see on the screens, today we're going to look at the first thing that should characterize who we as the Church of God should be like. And it is having this intense hunger for the Word of God. Is that what characterizes us? Because that is what it should do. And in thinking about this, I was thinking about, have you ever, or should I rather say, who has experienced extreme hunger, physical hunger? Or is there anyone here who can say that they did? Maybe when you were fasting, you may have experienced it then. But the truth is that around the world and in our own country, that is the daily experience of many, many millions of people. Not out of choice. I don't believe that hunger is out of choice. But when you look at pictures on television of people, little children and even adults in countries like Ethiopia and Sudan, you see these emaciated people, where it's not just hunger, it's starvation. And we are called really to hunger for the Word of God. And a lot of these people fill themselves, I don't know if you've seen it, it actually is so saddening when you see it. They eat things like grass and leaves and whatever they can lay their hands on, stuff that doesn't have any nourishment, but just so that they can fill themselves. And spiritual hunger operates in very much the same way, doesn't it? There is a longing, I think, in each one of us to be filled by something. And sometimes we fill ourselves with stuff that is good. Stuff like work and sport. Stuff that will help us to gain a sense of accomplishment and recognition and approval. And these are good things. Sport, doing good works. Maybe involved in charities or in helping others and blessing others. And these things can fill our lives as well. Just like family and friends, that can also take up a lot of space in our lives. And all of those are good things in themselves. And then there are other things that we can fill ourselves with which are not so good. We can get carried away by things like television, social media. They can fill our lives that there's no space for much else. And even worse still, when there are addictions of whatever kind, these things can fill our lives as well. But all of these, the good ones, as well as the not so good ones and the bad ones, are attempts by us to satisfy the inner hunger that we all so desperately need to have satiated or filled. And we make choices, don't we, about what it is that we will fill our lives with. It is a matter of choice. Nobody forces us to fill our lives with whatever. And my prayer is that we will agree this morning that only Jesus can satisfy, can fully satisfy that inner hunger that we have. And that the more we get to know him through the word, the more we will get to love him as his bride, and the more that hunger will be satisfied. And so that is my prayer for us today. I was looking at the story in the Gospel of John, chapter 6. That story that we all know so well of Jesus feeding the 5,000 and how he took those loaves of bread and those fish and he fed those 5,000 and how amazed the people were by this. And then just one day later, Jesus had this crowd again in front of him. And he said in verse 35, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. And he who believes in me will never be thirsty, as Heather was talking about and Nancy also. And he said that to the same people whom he had fed just the day before with physical bread. And then he goes on in verse 56, and what he says there, I think, blows the minds of the people who are there and many of his disciples as well. Because he goes on to say, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. And what happened then? I mean, I suppose that was so difficult for them to take. We must eat his flesh, we must drink his blood. No, that just can't happen. And many people walked away, including many of his disciples. And the verse that I want us to look at and to think about related to that was Peter's response, because Jesus said, aren't you also going to leave me? And what did Peter say? He said, in verse 68 of chapter 6, he said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And Peter realized, he seemed to realize that these radical claims by Jesus were actually the very source of truth and the only thing that would satisfy their souls. He is the bread of life. Only he is able to satisfy. And Peter realized when he said, you have the words of eternal life. And we see this confirmed through Scripture in so many ways, that Jesus is the bread of life. And we go back to John chapter 1, verse 1, which says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we realize, as I'm sure we all have realized, or that we all know, that Jesus is the living Word of God. And that is, and when I looked at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, and it's about this hunger, this craving for the Word of God and what it actually means, what it should mean to us, craving for this Word of God. What does it mean to us? And 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 talks about the milk of the Word. And I want to read that quickly. And it says, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk. And that word crave really got hold of me. To what extent are we craving the presence of Jesus in our lives? The Word of God, the living Word of God in our lives. And it says, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. And all of us who are parents know the value of a mother's milk for a newborn baby. I learned a new word. I know that it's excellent, and I learned about colostrum and what it is in that milk for newborn babies, and how that it has antibodies and all the nutrients that a newborn baby needs, not just to nourish them, but also for their health. Isn't our God amazing that He provides that for newborn babies, that it will satisfy their hunger and keep them healthy? And this is what the milk of the Word does as well. It refers to the pure foundational teachings of the Bible, doesn't it? And we need to crave this milk, so that our spiritual hunger can be satisfied and to ensure our spiritual growth. But the writer to the Hebrews goes a step further, doesn't he? When he encourages us in Hebrews 5, verse 14, to move on from the milk to solid food and to meat, to the meat of the Word. Because he says in chapter 5, verse 14, but solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. And when I read that, the word that struck me when it came to how we engage with the Word of God, and the word that got to me was constant use. You see, we are not encouraged to occasionally feed on the Word of God. That's not what it calls us to do. Constant use means that we use it all the time. And so that is such an important part for me. Our reading and study cannot and should not be occasional. It has got to be as constant as breathing. I mean, if we stop breathing, but also if we ate food occasionally, that is going to affect our health negatively, isn't it? We need to constantly, well, not all the time, hopefully, be eating. That would result in other outcomes. It's the same with the Word of God. We've got to be constantly feeding on the Word of God. And again, I want to remind ourselves that the Word of God is Jesus. To the extent that we constantly are wanting to know more about Him, and it's not just about knowing about Him, it's wanting more of Jesus. And so as we study the Word of God, as we engage with the Word of God on a constant basis, we get to know and to love Him more and more, and to understand His love for us more and more. In Hebrews 4, verse 12, we also learn, you know, why is it that we need to know more about the Word of God? It's to know more about the character of this person that we as the bride of Christ are preparing to spend eternity with. We want to know what this God is like, what Jesus' character is like. And so we find throughout the Word so much about the character of God that should cause us to want more and more of Him. And so in Hebrews 12, verse 4, we read in verse 12, "For the word of God is active, is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." What the word of God is an amazing aspect of His character, which exposes our wrongdoings, our sins and moral shortcomings, but also offers forgiveness, guidance, and spiritual healing. Remember, the word tells us, "For there is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus." But it is His word which is able to encourage us and to lead us, as we've just seen in Hebrews 4. I said a bit earlier, I reminded ourselves about the fact that Jesus is, in fact, the living Word, as we've seen in John chapter 1, verse 1. And so when we hunger for more of the Word, we are wanting more and more of Jesus in our lives. Because in order to have a close relationship with Him, we need to know more about Him, but to know Him more. And I think that is the important part, to know Him more. And this is what we get from the Word of God. We read in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, where it says, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and prayer." And what was the apostles' teaching? It was about the Word of God. Because we see just a couple of verses later in chapter 4, verse 31, when Peter and the other apostles were filled with the Holy Spirit. It says, "And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly." And yeah, that is what, and the word that I wanted to also emphasize there, if I can find it. Sorry. Sorry, the fingers are not working as quickly as they should. Oh, the word is devoted. They devoted themselves. Our hunger for the Word of God should be demonstrated through our devotion. We want to do it so much in our lives that it becomes a devotion. Remember when Jesus had just been baptized and He went into the wilderness to fast for 40 days and 40 nights? I can imagine how hungry He must have been. And the devil thought that he would make use of that to tempt Him. And he said, "If you are the Son of God." I love that. If you are the Son of God. Talk to these stones and turn them into bread. And what did Jesus do? He quoted scripture. He quoted the very word of God, quoted the word of God. He quoted from Deuteronomy 8 when he said, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." So Jesus didn't just quote scripture, didn't just quote the word, but he confirmed to the devil that the word of God is in actual fact what gives life. Now I'd like us just to look at a couple of verses in Psalm 119, just to confirm what we are talking about. Psalm 119 is an amazing psalm. I want to read the whole psalm to you. It's only the longest chapter in the Bible. It was written not by David, but by one of the priests. And it is an amazing psalm in that it talks about his love for the Word of God. And the more I went into Psalm 119, I realized, and it starts there, and I've just chosen a couple of verses. And in 92 and 93, he said, "If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction." 93 says, "I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have preserved my life." And you look at that and you see, go back to 92. If it had not been my delight, the word of God has got to be our delight. I would have perished. I would have died had this not been my delight. So God's words and promises are the very things that nourish us, that sustain us, that uphold us. And when we go to verse 103, he speaks of how he delights in the word. And I try to remember, there is a similar scripture that's in one of the Old Testament verses as well. "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." I don't know if anyone can remember where that is also in the Old Testament. But it is, sorry? Psalm 19 also. Thanks. The words of God have got to be like that, where we long for the taste of the word of God in our mouth. Not just to still our hunger, but there's, as I said earlier, you don't just fill your stomach with grass and leaves, but with the word of God which tastes good and which sustains, as he said there now. And then in verse 105, we see how the word of God is a lamp for my feet, and a light to my path. Somebody spoke about that earlier as well. I think it was Heather that spoke to that as well. How it is a lamp, a guide to my life, where I put my foot next. I can trust the word of God, who is Jesus, to lead me and to guide me throughout my life. So, lastly, if you look at verse 129 and 130, it says similarly, "Your statutes are wonderful, therefore I obey them." And I ask myself the question, and you might ask as well, do I obey them? "The unfolding of your words give light, it gives understanding to the simple." Amazing. Psalm 119, I encourage you, if you haven't read through that psalm, I found it to be an amazing psalm. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, we read, All Scripture is God-breathed. Scripture is from God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So we're reminded that Scripture, not only is it the Word of God, but that it also sanctifies us in righteousness. It helps us to discern areas of growth and leads us to look more like Jesus, which is what we want to do. We want to be more and more like Jesus every day. I suppose the question for you and I would be, if all of this is true about the Word of God, am I hungering and craving for the Word of God as much as I should, as though my life depended on it? Am I craving for the Word of God as much? And I want to end with just five short suggestions of how we can sustain this appetite and hunger for the Word of God. And there are many others, but I want to suggest that these may be things for us to consider as we draw closer to Jesus by knowing Him more and more from the Word. And the first is to remind myself how much God loves me. To know Jesus, I need to just remember how much God loves me. And He loves me so much that He sent His only Son to die for me. And I'm constantly reminded of that old chorus, "Count your many blessings." And when I do that, I just cannot understand why God would love me so much that He would bless me so much. So the first is remind myself how much God loves me. And the second one is stop filling ourselves with spiritual junk food. The things that I spoke about earlier. Some of which are good, but they should not be engaged into the exclusion where we don't have any space left for the Word of God. And then thirdly, and it's linked to all of these, they're all interlinked, is make knowing God your number one goal. Get to know Him. That there should be nothing more important in my life, because my life depends on it, than knowing God. Then fourthly, get into the Word of God every day. Make space, important space, every day for the Word of God. And the fifth one links to that, where I say join a small group, whether it's a Bible study. I know it's not always possible, but join a group. Get involved with people who are looking at the Word of God as well. So it's important that we get to know that. And so it's important that we engage with other people who love the Word as well, and spend time with them sharing the Word of God. So those five very simple suggestions on how we can get to have this hunger sustained. The wonderful thing about, and the difference between this hunger and physical hunger, is that we want to remain hungry. We don't want this hunger to be satisfied. We want to remain hungry because we want every day to be feeding on the Word of God. So just a last thought. Remember that our hunger for the Word is wanting to know Jesus, the bridegroom of our soul, more and more. More about His character. More about His promises. And above all, more about His love. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus. And thank you, Lord, thank you, Father, that he is your word, the word of God to us. And I pray for this deep hunger in each one of us as we look to you, that your word may become so tasty to us that we would want more and more of it every day. And that it would, as we get to know Jesus more and more through your word, that our lives would reflect his goodness to the world around us. In Jesus' name, amen.